Greetings, dear, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
that. Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Maddie Kay, and I am here with actor, writer, all around Massachusetts, Rhode Island person, Paul Kandarian. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Maddie, how's it going in beautiful
very well.
Downtown Massachusetts?
Very well, very well. So we're not here to discuss acting, we're not here to discuss writing, we're not here to discuss anything creative. We're here to discuss, and Paul opened the door to this on Facebook. We're here to discuss the phenomenon of the drive-through line, particularly at Dunkin' Donuts, but this applies to Starbucks and a lot of other McDonald's, you know, places like that. So Paul was in a line. How deep would you say this line of cars?
Well, the drive was had to have been a couple of hundred yards in an arc because there was a large machinery in the middle of something. So anyway, it had to have been 30 cars.
30
yeah,
cars.
It had to have been. I lost count. At one point, there was like 10 or 15 in front of me, and I looked behind me and said, holy crap, there's another 10 or 15. So it had to have been 20 at least. Yeah. When I got to it, there was maybe 10 or 15, which I thought was, well, that's not bad. You know, that'll just
10 to 15 cars.
Yeah, and I looked at the parking lot, and there's all kinds of spaces. Well, here's the caveat to the whole thing. I play hockey. I'm an old man, and I play hockey in Hingham every Friday morning. I get up at like 4:30, quarter five, drive from Marion, Mass to Hingham,
yeah,
play hockey.
Right.
And I get my ass kicked by like 25-year-old kids because I'm a goalie. Right. Yeah. So on the way back, I just figured I'd stop and get a coffee. And I said I could go in, but I just pretty much, you know, I was on death's door playing hockey. So I'm just going to indulge myself and sit in line because I was in no rush. And I think that's the key. If you're going to get into a drive-up line that's like the line in Soylent Green with people just lining up to march to their death, you better have time. You can't be in a pissy mood when you do that. And I was in a good place. I was happy. It was raining. But I just listened to music and just took a picture and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, but that can't be everybody in that line.
No, no.
Obviously.
No, people, but it's hard to believe that you'd get in a line like that thinking this is the most expeditious way to get coffee. Just having passed a parking lot full of empty spaces. I don't know. I don't know what possesses people to do it. In my own defense, when I see a line like that in empty spaces, I usually just pull in and walk in and feeling, you know, somewhat triumphant, somewhat like, you know, still wearing a mask in the days of post-pandemia. It's like you just feel superior to people because look at you, you lemmings, you're in line and I'm walking in on my own 2 feet. I'm ambulatory. I'm not I'm not a slave to this mechanized drive-up nonsense.
I go to a Dunkin' Donuts maybe once or twice a week in Foxborough, I think it is. It's on Route 1.
Yeah.
Pull in, and I always go in. I always get the same thing, sandwich and a large coffee. And I always have a very pleasant exchange with the people behind the counter. They kind of know who I am now. I wouldn't say I'm a regular. I don't go there every day. But, you know, we have an, hey, how's it going? Good, good. How are you? Da, da, da. And then I go over. You see the people making the food and whatnot. And they'll look over. Hey, sweetie, you know, da, da, da. Right. One morning, the lady was like, oh, I love that tie. You know, it was nice. We have this nice little interaction and whatnot. I have come out of the Dunkin' Donuts and seen a car that I saw when I go in. And I'm not just getting a coffee. I'm also getting a sandwich. So that car has moved maybe 20 feet.
Right.
And I'm out of the store. I'm done. I'm finished.
Yeah.
I don't understand the phenomenon of why people will sit in that line, will refuse to get out of their car. Yeah. These are perfectly ambulatory people. Money's. They probably run 5 miles. They probably do Pilates, spinning classes, and they will not get out of their car.
Yeah, I think it's a mental. There's something about the human experience and humans in general that we're drawn to lines, figuring there's got to be something at the end. You know, it's like, honestly, it's more like you know, this. It's like a rainbow in the pot of gold. I know it's there.
Wasn't that communism?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It was like, if you see a line, get in it, because you're going to get shoes.
Very Orwellian, I think. Yes, it's extremely Orwellian.
Bread.
Get in line and march. You know, you just march to wherever you're supposed to go, and you look at the guy behind you, where are we going? I don't know, man. It was just a line. I just got in it. And I think that's got a lot to do with it. Yeah, I don't know. We have a line mentality in this country. We stand in line for everything. Stand in line, drive in line, whatever. I don't know. These are smart people. You're right. I mean, these are people who are perfectly capable of going inside.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Are you, you're a reader, right? Are you more comfortable with the book form, or do you read on your phone? Do you read on a Kindle?
I have a Kindle, but I never use it because, yeah, I like the tactile experience of holding something in my hand. And also with the Kindle, if I forget something, you know, like 10 pages ago, I just flip back on a book. You just flip back and look for it in the Kindle. It's a pain in the ass to try to find anything on a Kindle. The only good thing about a Kindle is there's a lot of words I don't know, and you can highlight them and it'll look it up for you.
Yeah.
I get the New York Times. I used to get the Globe, then I canceled it because the Times is a better read. So I get that. And I like that. I like opening a paper. It's the sensory.
You actually get a physical newspaper.
Physical newspaper. No, I'm a dinosaur, dude. I am a dinosaur in so many ways.
No, I went and I bought copies of, I was talking to our mutual friend, Rui Lopes, yesterday. And we started talking about magazines. He said something, Rui's probably what, in his 30s?
Yeah.
And he said something about, like, do they even make paper magazines anymore? Now, I go to Barnes & Noble every so often and I buy a copy of The New Yorker and maybe The Atlantic. I used to get a subscription to The New Yorker, but it got to be too much. I can't keep up with all that.
Like reading a book a week with that thing.
Exactly. And I can't read another book. I get so far behind. But my point now, would you say those people who are in their cars waiting in the drive-through line are probably on their phones?
Oh, yeah. I was. I was taking a picture of it and remarking it, you know.
That's right. That's how we got onto this.
Yeah, I know.
Because Paul posted on Facebook this phenomenon he was wrapped up in completely willingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, I thought immoral too. That word kind of popped in my mind. Slothful. Isn't that one of the 7 deadly sins? Sloth?
Yeah, I think I've got at least 8 of them. I think I made up a few of my own, but yes, yeah, you're right.
Well, we both come from Massachusetts. This is a very, are you from Massachusetts or Rhode Island?
I was born around, but I was raised in Mass.
Yeah, kind of same deal. We still have, I think, very strong puritanical strains of judgment here. Sloth, you know, types of things.
We're guilty about everything too. Even if we haven't done anything wrong, we're guilty about
it. Oh no, you're guilty. You don't know what you're guilty of.
Yeah, it's so funny because I did, not to get back to the acting thing, but I was in Utah a couple of weeks ago for a premiere, And I've been in Indiana this year for filming. I've been in a bunch of places where everybody's uniformly way nicer than they are here. And I tell people that. I mean, if you look like you're looking for someplace on the street, they'll stop. Say, you okay? And where if it's here, it's like, what do you want? I've got no money. Get away from me. There's a level of trust with people that we just don't have here. We might as well have exoskeletons in Northeast. Because we are a hardened bunch of people, and we like it. That's how we survive. But you go anywhere.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. What are you? You okay? Yeah. I know what I'm doing. What are you doing? Yeah. There you go. Right away. Yeah. It's just like, you know, yeah. Get, you know.
You put your hand in your wallet. What? What do you want? Yeah.
I found that in Texas. People be like, hey, right on the street. Hey, how you doing? Like, you know, how am I doing? I don't know. What's it to you?
Gee, how are you making me lift my head up? I'm looking at the sidewalk. Leave me alone.
I was in Dublin, right? This is maybe two or three summers ago. And we were waiting for a ferry. And this guy sat down, older gentleman. He was a writer, as it turned out. He wrote for one of the papers. And he started chatting with us. And I honestly thought, you know, I was polite and everything. I honestly thought he was trying to sell us something. Yeah. Like he owned a restaurant. He was trying to get us to go to his restaurant.
Yeah.
You know what he was doing? He was engaging in a polite conversation with some tourists.
Right.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah. And that sets off alarms, doesn't it?
It sets off alarm bells.
Something in our Puritan background.
But, you know, to go back to the drive-through thing, people sit in their cars. They sit on their phones. They refuse to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if you remember the movie Crash, came out like 20 years ago, had Matt Dillon was in it.
Right, it's an ensemble cast. It was a Crash.
Yeah.
And
it had a lot to do with like LA car culture, like people live right next to each other and they don't know each other.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, I can't, not to get too profound about it, but you know, we're obviously living in a time, a lot of fear, a lot of paranoia, things like that. And it's like, maybe if you got out of your car and you actually went in and spoke to somebody you don't know, had a little interaction with someone, you'd maybe feel a little bit healthier, you know, less afraid.
You know, and it's funny too, because whenever I get in a line like that, I get up to the window and it's like I'm starving for human connection. And these people, the uniform, the Dunkin' Donuts people, I don't know, last year or two or something, they've been just really nice. I don't know if they have training. They're just nice, very nice. You know, how you doing? They're very friendly. They're almost like they're not from here. They're aliens. But when you get to the window, it's like you really are. You're thirsty, not for caffeine, but for just a human being to say, hello, how are you, sort of thing. And I always, you know, and I usually use the app to pay for it. And then if I get any change, I'm digging through my pocket to give them a tip because you feel bad. But it's a nice to make that connection. Whenever I do go into Dunkin' Donuts, it's much better. It's a much better experience. They're nice, but usually they're all tied up at the drive-thru. They leave like one person inside because nobody comes in. They're all tied up doing drive-thru stuff.
Yeah. So did you notice this drive-thru phenomenon in Utah, Indiana? It was a little different, or did you not notice?
I didn't really know. I didn't go. I had a car in Utah. I did a funny video. I don't know if you saw it about Dunkin' Donuts in Utah. I have to send it to you. It is kind of funny.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, it's...
Dunkin' Donuts in Utah. That's so weird.
Indiana. It was in the, which is still kind of weird.
That is weird.
You know what you hear and you say, you know, Siri, where's the nearest Dunkin' Donuts? He's like, turn around, idiot.
Yeah.
Because there's a Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. He was like, the nearest Dunkin' Donuts is 10 miles away. I said, are you kidding me? I was like,
I can't go 10 miles.
I can't go that far. What are you, nuts?
Nobody goes there.
But I did. And I went and then I just did I thought I was a wicked funny Boston kind of video in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'll send it to you.
Were they nice? Were they very nice? They were
very nice. Yeah, of course. They're nice. Indiana. I mean, you pass every billboard. It's like, have you found God? I said, no. Is he missing? they're super religious, which is fine. But they're just nice. You know, I tend to find that most people who are very religious aren't as fanatical as you think they are. They just believe what they believe in. They're just nice people.
They're nice people. Yeah.
And they probably go in. They probably don't wait in line unless it's for communion or something. They're probably very face-to-face kind of people everywhere, but here.
But it seems like technology, it's all geared towards, you know, staying in your car, paying on your app, no contact. Yeah. Like, no contact was pushed during the pandemic. You will not have contact with anyone during this transaction.
Yeah.
It's like, how fun is that? I mean,
And it was, how prophetic is that? Prophetic is that? Because it's, you know, we haven't had contact with each other for a long time, and this just kind of cements that philosophy that we need to stay apart from one another just for biological and emotional reasons. It's weird. Yeah. Times are changing, Maddie. Times are changing, and we got to kill each other.
Let me go get my... Yeah, you got to roll them back to the 1950s when everything was just wonderful.
I watched The Shootist the other night, John Wayne's last movie. I absolutely love that movie just for the setting and the transition because it was the cars were coming in and horseback was still... It was a beautiful movie. I love that movie. Anyway, that means nothing to it. There was no drive-up lines in those days.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Like, you know, people just went in and they had their transactions with people and you got to know people and, you know, like, it's still sort of, I mean, I still go physically to the grocery store. I know some people there to say hello to and da-da-da. And it's not like we have coffee together, but it's just sort of a nice, pleasant interaction. Yeah.
Because with human beings, we are a community. We're the community of humans, and we need that connection. We need to reach out and touch people once in a while. And this is all new, really, basically. So it's hopefully it won't last as long. Hopefully the pendulum will swing the other way where we realize we need people. As much as here in the Northeast, we hate everybody, we still need them.
Yeah.
We already look pissed off. We're really not that pissed off.
I always loved the... it was the Saturday Night Live skit with, he was in Good Will Hunting. Not Casey, Matt Damon. Casey Affleck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that commercial. Yeah.
And the Dunkin' Donuts. And like, you can come in and get a Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, I fucking love Dunkin', guy. What are you talking about? Like, right away, he's up in, like, what's up? You know?
Well, it's a culture that exists here because it was born in Quincy, right? Dunkin' Donuts started in Quincy.
I think so. Yeah.
And I went to, the original store still there, and I got a picture of the original store.
Drove by there the other day. They still have the same cursive.
Yeah, Tony's delivered up the road there. And it's a uniquely ours. And it's like, you know, people can bash, you can't bash the Dunkin' Donuts. We can. It's like, you can't make fun of the Kennedys. That's our purview. We can make fun of them. You can't. So we're very territorial, very possessive up here of stuff that we think is inherently ours, right down to our coffee beans. It's really weird.
Yeah. Well, thank you for exploring this phenomenon, Paul. And to our listeners, we'll have more hard-hitting issues to come at you with in the future.
Maybe sometime we'll talk about pizza.
Really get into it.
Yeah.
Really get into it. All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media. If you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.